Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. So, welcome to Friday's episode of the podcast, another week. But this week is a little bit different because obviously outside of certain tiers of the country, people were already in lockdown, like all of our mates in Wales and some parts of the north. But for us in the south, we entered lockdown yesterday, so we thought Georgia and I really needed an extra pair of hands, mentally, physically, emotionally, to answer today's questions on breastfeeding and bottle feeding. So we decided to open up our little black book and invite our very amazing friends back on, who are also our parenting experts, Chris and Rose from Expect the Best. Welcome!
Yay! So nice to be here in the next lockdown with you.
We were just looking back, weren't we, G, that the last time we had you guys on was, I think, a couple of days after we entered the first lockdown.
It was. Yes. It's like, it's like as soon as we locked down, we're suddenly like, we need Chris and Rose.
We're here for you.
Where are they?
How are you guys feeling about this lockdown?
Yeah, I think we're okay, aren't we? We're very lucky. They've made it quite clear with childcare this time that we can still help and stuff. So it means we can do a lot more with parents and families, and we can still go into schools and teach and stuff. So yeah, actually, just going to crack on.
Oh, and so from like a child perspective, do you think this is like a really great thing that there's, you know, the kids can still have some structure?
Yeah, absolutely. I know for mine, I was worried about them kind of not going to school again, and you know, if that happens again then it happens again and we'll deal with that, but for them it feels like not much has changed because they're at school, and so they're carrying on and the school seems to be dealing with it really well, so that's good.
Yeah, and I guess for anybody that's feeling the anxieties around it, you know, any new mums that are listening, what would your advice be, Chris?
We've done it, that classic line is that we've done it before and we can do it again. Take those moments, if you do have childcare, to really rest, recuperate, and just like look after yourself even more, because that way you can be, you know, even more confident and with it when you're with your children. You know, we've got that bit of respite, we've got that care, we can have grandparents as well, which is great. So just, you know, take those moments and don't try and do everything. You know, like do if you want to do the bare minimum, do the bare minimum. Like, it's fine. We've got a road ahead. Let's just do it together and ask for help. Yeah. When in doubt, ask for help.
And do you think there's any point in telling our children about this lockdown again? Because I haven't actually mentioned it to them. Like, I haven't, I mean, Isla, obviously, she's coming up for 8, so she kind of gets it a little bit more. But I haven't said anything to the other two because I just don't think they need to hear it.
Well, when they're that young, I guess not. Like, it only affects children if, you know, there's some clubs that they can't do at the weekend. Yeah. Like, you know, if you normally go swimming, you can't do swimming, but you could also just say the pool's shut. It's, I guess it's difficult, isn't it? Because they've said it's going to be 4 weeks, but I mean... but I think that's a good idea, Zoe. When they're that young, there's no point upsetting, especially like someone like Kit. What's the point of explaining it to him when we're kind of just in it if there's no need at the moment?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, he just run and charge at the wall and headbutt it on purpose. So,
he you'll be fine. So a couple of days ago, we asked our followers to send in some questions all to do with breastfeeding and bottle feeding. Now, Zoe and I have done both, haven't we?
Yes.
And had different experiences as well, both times. But there's certain questions which we felt like we needed to bring in the experts to answer. Mm. So shall we get into them, Zoe?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Nicole has asked how to get a breastfed baby to accept the bottle. As 12-week-old has got older, she just refuses the bottle.
This is a really common question that we get asked quite a lot, especially when we're working with first-time mums, how they can get a bit more independence and how they can take the bottle. Now, first of all, it's a lot of persistence and staying calm. And I know that sounds a bit like, that's not what people want to hear. I can feel people probably shaking their phone right now at me. But it is a lot of persistence and staying calm. And there's a few other like kind of little tricks that you can do to help the baby want to take the bottle. So first off, I would definitely try dipping the teat of the bottle in breast milk, like kind of really enticing the child to want to like latch on, and actually latching your baby on as if you would the breast to the bottle. That can help give them the same sensation as being on the breast. You know, sometimes when you pop your thumb underneath like the nipple to put it into the child's mouth to latch on, that can really help a baby to feel like they're kind of still on the breast, but wanting to take the teat of the bottle. You can also warm the teat of the bottle, obviously not so it's like too hot or anything, so it softens and has the same texture and feeling as the nipple as well, and this can help a baby and entice them more to latch on as well. And also, you know, the classic try them in a different position or get someone else to help feed, which I know especially in a lockdown is not very easy.
Yeah.
But those little tips around the teat can really help, can't they, Rose?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, lots of people want to move onto bottles for lots of different reasons. And I think the first thing is to, you know, if you're going onto a bottle and you're moving your baby onto a bottle and that's what you want to do, then that's absolutely fantastic. Own that decision. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks about the fact that you're, I think sometimes that can be the start of it. And you know how babies, they all pick up on how we're feeling. And so I know what Chris was saying, and it's really irritating, but that just going into it thinking, you know, it's not going to fail is sometimes a, you know, a really helpful mentality to have. Just if it is, if they are struggling, take a step back, move positions, move rooms, move wherever you can go to just take that moment for you to breathe as well. Because I think sometimes, you know, we're so desperate for them to take it because we feel in whatever way that we've failed if they don't take it. But actually it's more helpful to go, oh, okay, it's a little bit tricky today. What can we do differently? What can we kind of, you know, what can I change? Well, I can change the position. I can pop a muslin over my breasts if you're going from breastfeeding to bottle feeding. And if you're using, it will differ if you're using breast milk and if you're using formula. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've got a question about breast milk and formula a bit later. So if you're using breast milk in a bottle, then definitely cover up yourself, get somebody else to help you. And if you feel them rejecting the bottle, then just remove it before they really, really reject it, so that you're keeping it a very happy and calm experience, so that they don't start to associate it with the stress of kind of, you know, we've all wanted to kind of feel like it's like, come on, just take it, just take it, just take it.
Yeah, and actually kind of enticing the mouth with the teat of the bottle as well, kind of like Rose says, getting it on those early cues and really alleviating that guilt of that you want to move on to a bottle is actually really key. I mean, we've had mothers come to us that say they feel selfish because they want to put their baby into a bottle.
God, we hear it so much.
It's like, you're not selfish. It makes you so upset. It's like, it's your decision. It's your child. It's your body.
Yeah.
Do what you like.
Is there any truth in the
in the idea of doing it at the same time every single day. So, for example, there's a lot of kind of rumours flying around that you shouldn't do it in the, or for example, through the night. So if you're trying to get your baby to latch onto a bottle, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when they're used to having the boob and it's dark and, you know, it's warm, they don't want to have like a cold teat going into their mouth. So try it before they get hungry at exactly the same time during the day.
I mean, I think what it is with that is that the truth in that is that if it's not a stressful time, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to feel better about it because it's not going to be so much affecting your sleep. You know, you want to get back to sleep. And so if you're suddenly trying to have a battle with the bottle, then you're going to feel even more stressed. And then it's going to feel like you failed, even though you absolutely haven't. So dropping, changing one feed that you know is kind of not a critical feed for them. So that not that first feed in the morning when they're really, really, really hungry and then they might be going to get distressed if they can't get as much as they want to get. So you can, so, you know, picking that sort of mid-morning, mid-afternoon feed where you can really invest that time in it, I think is just means that it's a more relaxing experience for everyone rather than that stress of I've got to do it.
Chris, planning to breastfeed, any must-have purchases for expressing, etc., or wait and see, question mark?
Do you know what? It's so funny that when I saw this question, I've had it with a lot of my friends recently who've all had babies. And so the first thing I get is, what's the best breastfeeding machine to get? Is it this one that's like £400? And although they're all out there in that, the best one I have found and used in experience and always recommend to parents is one from Amazon that's about £30. I mean, it makes such a racket. It's like you're in a nightclub. It's like douche, 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 douche when it goes. But it's fantastic. It really works, really helps to get a lot of milk out. So a good breast pump, whatever you feel comfortable, lots of muslins. And actually, I would say silver nipple shields, if you can.
Yeah.
They are so fantastic at stopping infections, you know, bad bacterias, cracking of the nipples. They really are kind of, I would say, a must have if you can, if you're going to get anything, because they just really help to protect the nipples, you and your baby. I mean, Georgia, you said, have you heard, did you use them or have you heard about how good they are?
Yeah, no. I used them. And one of my friends who had a baby recently, she was using them and she loved them. But also to your point about not spending loads of money on an expensive breast pump at the beginning, absolutely. Because, you know, so many of us don't know if we're even going to get on with breastfeeding. So if you go straight in and buy the £400 pump, then, you know, you might only breastfeed for 2 weeks and then that was a waste of time.
Absolutely. And I think a good breastfeeding, you know, bra as well, something that unhooks easy, you know, like loose jumpers and stuff. I mean, you see all these things about, you know, that you need to change your clothing and your style all the time. And, you know, that's something that you guys have taught us you don't need to do as mums. You can just keep it really loose, really comfortable. You still want to feel really good. I think if you feel good, it just helps with, you know, breastfeeding as well. So just keep, you know, don't go out and rush and buy everything. See how you get on. Exactly. We live in a world of next day delivery. We're very lucky.
Exactly.
The only thing I will say about the breastfeeding clothes is that the only time I ever struggled was when I made the absolute error of wearing a dress that wasn't breastfeeding friendly. And suddenly I'm having to hoik this dress up over my tummy, over my boobs in a cafe. Just like, I got my arm stuck down one of the arms. I was like, this is a nightmare, like sweating profusely, hating life. Just, and then, I was just sitting in a pair of tights that were up around my
You get so stressed, don't you? Yeah. I think, Georgia, I remember your post when you had Gigi. You did a whole thing on breastfeeding dresses. And even to me, I was like, these are great, thinking I'm going to breastfeed one day. I was like, yes, I'll get this.
Do you know what, though? Anything with buttons or anything that you can quickly nip, like, one of the sleeves down is fine. But, yeah, equally, like Zoe said, you don't want to be putting a dress over the top of your head in the middle of a cafe, really. I mean, you know, some people might be into that, but, you know, we're not really.
What breast pump did you have, G? You had the LV, didn't you?
I did. I first time around, I had the Medela pump, which I got, I think, for about £60 when it was on sale in Boots. And it is quite often. And it was really, really good. Second time, I had the Medela pump because I was getting on a lot better with breastfeeding Gigi.
You mean you had the LV? Second time round.
Yeah, so I had, yeah, the LV, sorry, second time round, because, I was getting on a lot better, but I had Axel who was running around, so it was harder for me to stay in one position and pump, and it meant I could literally pop it in my bra and like, I'd be in the supermarket and I'd be pumping and nobody would know. So, yeah, I mean, it's an investment for sure. And I mean, I don't know if it was definitely worth it, because I didn't breastfeed for 6 or 7 months or whatever. But for the time that I used it, it was incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah. We've heard good things.
Yes. Next question. How to wean off breastfeeding?
That kind of falls into like moving onto a bottle, doesn't it? So kind of similar answers to that. It's about, again, it's having the confidence and knowing that's what you want to do. Lots of people talk about going cold turkey. Now, it kind of all depends on your situation. Obviously, you don't want to get breast engorgement or something, and that's what can happen by going cold turkey. It's about like doing less breastfeeds, expressing less so you're not producing the milk, and then starting to offer more bottle feeds, like kind of in the day, like dropping bottle feeds in. As Rose says, a really good time to like put in a bottle feed is like a mid-morning, especially if you're moving onto formula, because lots of children these days have a lot of allergies and lots of reactions and stuff. So it's always good to do, if you're going to put formula into your baby's diet after being on breast, is to do it at a time where you can see if they're going to have like a bit of a tummy upset or a slight reaction to it. So you wouldn't want to do that at night and then put them down to bed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's about kind of drip feeding it in slowly and making sure that you just slowly decrease the amount of milk you're producing and not suddenly just stopping, because, you know, you don't want to get into a place with engorgement. I don't know if any of you had that. Like it's so painful for women. It is absolutely excruciating, and you just have that point where you're just like, why am I doing this? Like, it's just your body, just it can make women feel really crap about themselves as well. And then it can just stop that nice flow of feeding. So taking your time with it, slow in with the formula, and if you're going to decide, you know, it can take like a month to slowly stop.
Yeah,
I mean, some people have to stop completely. And that's okay, but definitely get your doctor's advice or health visitor's advice if you need to like stop immediately for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Jess. Jess has sent a question. Hi, girls. Did you both feel the pressure to breastfeed? Love the podcast. Thanks, Jess.
So you answer this first.
Oh, I've got so much that I want to say on this, Jess.
Yeah.
You can imagine. Firstly, I feel like as a society, we need to stop putting pressure on mothers. It is a fucking ridiculous concept to sit there and tell a new mum that they should be doing this and they're not doing that correctly. So that's what I want to start from. It's 2020. We are entitled to make a decision on whether we want to breast or bottle feed our baby. And there should be no guilt that is around that in any way, shape or form. Yes, you know, we hear all the health reasons why breastfeeding is better initially with the colostrum and everything else. But fundamentally, Isla, who is my stepdaughter, was a bottle-fed baby, and she is strong, healthy, happy, has amazingly beautiful long blonde hair. You know, there is absolutely nothing wrong, and her immunity is incredible. So I would just like to say that I never felt the pressure to breastfeed, but I wanted to give it a go because of the person that I am, and I just wanted to see if I could do it. It wasn't really about what it was going to be doing to Luna. It was more about, look, this is a challenge. I knew it was going to be tricky because I've spoken to friends who were like, look, it's not as easy as all the pictures make out. You know, the moment where the baby just latches on and looks up at you and you have this beautiful moment.
Holds up to your breast.
Oh, I mean, for me, it was like toe curling agony for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. But I did get into my flow with it at about 6 weeks with Luna, and then I had an amazing 6 weeks where we trundled around Cheltenham and I was breastfeeding everywhere. Do you remember, G?
Exactly.
I think what I want to say is just take the pressure off yourself. If you're pregnant and thinking about it, it's completely your choice and it's absolutely okay whatever you decide.
So I think an important point to make is also often your journey into motherhood, how it starts, can impact, you know, whether or not you want to breastfeed. If you had a really traumatic birth, you know, the first few days you might be feeling absolutely awful. And so the last thing you want to do is to try and breastfeed. And that's absolutely fine. It's just about following your gut instinct, not looking at anybody else for advice or pressure. And just doing what feels comfortable. I personally didn't feel any pressure to breastfeed either. And you know what? Like, Zoe, was you breastfed? Was your friend breastfed? We don't, it's not something you talk about when you go to school, is it? Like, oh, well, I was breastfed or I was bottle fed.
I was about to ask that. Do people ask you now they're older whether you breastfed or bottle fed?
No.
Oh my God, I did. Yeah, I loved it.
I mean, is this something we have to put on our CVs? No.
I would just like to add from like kind of mine and Rose's point of view, what is best for your newborn baby? It is the mother feeling happy and healthy.
Yes.
Not breast is best. Mum is best.
Yeah.
Mum, parent is best.
Parent.
Guardian is best.
Yeah.
It is not about what you put into your baby's mouth, whether it's a breast or a bottle. It drives me, oh my God, I've got my hands in the air. I'm doing that flappy thing.
Can
it drives me insane. Me and Rose get this all the time. And we're like, what is best for you? What do you want to do? It's about having a happy parent.
Yeah.
I remember the moment that I gave Luna formula for the first time. My mum was there and Dozza was there and I was in such a mess. I had mastitis, the bleeding, the pussing, the oozing. I mean, I was just a mess basically. And my mum was like, look, why don't you just make up a little bit of formula and give it to her? She seems really hungry. I wasn't producing enough milk. Like I think I could get like only 4 ounces out of my right and only 2 out of my left. And I just, you know, for some reason, it just at that point just wasn't working for me. And I was like, I can't. And I remember the moment that she handed me the bottle and I gave it to her. And Luna was just like, she was just, and suddenly she was settled and relaxed and happy. But then that made me just howl. I was crying and crying and crying because I thought I was poisoning her, and I kept saying it. It's just like, how ridiculous that's how we're feel by whatever society, people making comments, whatever. It's like, if it works for you and it makes you have a happy baby, you have to do it.
Yeah, so true. So true. We've had a question in which says, why is burping such a bitch?
Rose.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah, Rose, you can take this one.
Well, I was going to say, some are hard to burp. And it's, you know, I think we're told all the time, you know, get that burp out of them. And actually, the best way to do it is to just experiment with what works best for your baby and what gets them to burp. But you're right, it can be really it can take a while, and for some babies it can take quite a long time to get that burp out. But if you lie them down, sometimes what I do is that I'll sit them up and then I'll slowly put them down to a lying flat position and then slowly bring them back up again and then continue the rubbing. And sometimes that helps to just get it moving. And I found, and you know, some over the shoulder, some sitting on your knee, you know, and if you've had enough and you're like, I've sat here for a long time, if you can get somebody else to have a go, then, you know, that's great. I appreciate that that might not be possible for some people, but absolutely, it can be tough.
It can be a bit.
And I think as well, it's good to mention it's really difficult if you've got a baby that's got reflux.
Yeah.
Burping and moving them around a lot is the last thing you want to do.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it's really difficult. So you've got to find that time and the balance and just work out what tricks you. There is no right or wrong when it comes to burping. Everyone will be different. Everybody will want to do it differently. So just, you know, ease into it and find what works for you.
Yeah, and that's probably worth mentioning. If they do have reflux, don't do that lowering them down and putting them back up again, because that will aggravate things. So that's a good point.
We've had a lot of questions about either babies refusing the bottle or, you know, parents trying to get their baby onto a bottle. So I think we've kind of answered that. But I think in short, if you are one of those people that sent in a question about either baby refusing the bottle, that you feel stuck, that you want help on that, what would be your like top 5 points, Chris, just quickly, so we can cover all those ones off?
It would again be kind of what I mentioned earlier. So like softening the teat, dipping it in breast milk, tapping the bottom of the bottle when feeding them sometimes helps to release air bubbles and that, because that can be, you know, what causes it. Having a different position to feed in, feed just before the normal feeding cue times and try in a bit more of an upright position as if they're sitting. Mm. And, you know, just take your time with it. Don't force it and go with the flow. Yeah.
And also, Georgia and I really love the man bottles. We don't really hear that much noise around them. People that know, like, it's like, if you know, you know.
Yes, but it is.
They're also anti-reflux bottles as well. Yep. So, and you don't have to sterilize. You can just pop them in the, I mean, you have to sterilize them, but you can just pop them in the microwave. They're like self-sterilizing bottles. So they're actually really good ones to try out. But yeah, we both had loads of success with those, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely my favorite bottles, the ones that I would recommend to, you know, everyone.
Someone said, Zoe, your boobs look hot here. Thank you very much. Since I went on my HRT, my boobs have shot up to their normal breast cup size. Thank you very much.
You're going to be seeing those more and more. Next question. Is a dummy a good idea to get longer periods between feeds?
Controversial jokes. You know, this whole chat about to dummy or not to dummy, again, honestly, Georgia and Zoe, it's if you want to. Like, it can help babies go longer through feeds, like putting your finger in their mouth so they can suck on something to keep them extending. But you've got to think why are you doing that? Are you doing it just to try and keep the feeds going? Or maybe your baby's going for a hungry period and needs to be fed a bit early. Definitely if you're trying to get into quite a solid routine, it can be a good idea. But then you have to make peace with the fact that your baby's going to have a dummy. And so it's whether you want to introduce one generally for all things or not. If not, I would try, you know, thumb, finger in the mouth. Those sorts of things can help extend a baby, moving around, changing where you are. But if you're happy to use a dummy, then I would say completely, why not? I don't know if you agree, Rose.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, absolutely. I think the question that you have to ask yourself is it, are you using it, you know, in the early days, they are going to feed little and often, and so are you needing to extend the feeds because you want to get them onto a schedule or because you feel that you have to? So that's the kind of the first thing, and secondly, you know, if they are a very fussy baby and it just helps to keep them calm in between feeds, then absolutely go for it. But you know, I think we've also, a bit like with breastfeeding and bottle feeding, etc., we've been made to feel guilty about dummies. Again, if you want to use one, go for it. If you don't, then that's also absolutely fine.
Well, Georgia,
it's all wrapped in guilt, isn't it?
No, it is. I was going to say, because Gigi still has a dummy now, never had any issues with it. And I mean, I sort of planned to take it away, I guess, at some point. But she doesn't wake up for it in the night. She doesn't have it in the day. I just think, oh, it's fine. Whereas Axel got to just before he was one and he was lobbing the dummy out of the cot. Like, it drove me mad. So I had to just go cold turkey. Like, that was it. It's gone.
I think as well, again, mentioning with reflux, we've had a lot of babies. It really can help a baby that has reflux, a dummy, because the suckling motion can help, you know, settle the tummy down. So if you have got a baby that you're finding really hard to wind and they're laying down and they're just crying and being a lot in pain, definitely look into reflux because they could have silent reflux. And a dummy really helps those babies. You know, we worked with a client recently and they were really anti-dummies because of guilt and the way that her mother-in-law had made her feel, which is just so sad. And we were just, you know, slowly, we can't tell someone what to do, but advising. And she gave her baby a dummy and he slept. And she was like, I don't know why I waited. What is wrong? And I was like, nothing's wrong with you. It's people making you feel like that. Like Rose said, with dummies wrapped up in guilt, just like using a bottle is. So if you want to use it, use it. It's what's right for your baby and you in that moment.
So we'll be back right after this.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Moments That Made Me with me, Ruxy Nafusi, is back. And Series 2 has got some incredible guests lined up. Here is a little taster.
People see mental illness as a weakness, but I think people with mental illness are stronger.
I'm a proud gay man now. I don't feel proud every single day.
So then I had to go about the task of trying to accept it because I wasn't going to get plastic surgery and I wasn't going to change it.
You know, those moments in your life, it was like a thunderbolt.
Was it really?
A big time.
The conversations I've been having have blown my mind, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear what's to come. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss one of our amazing episodes. They will be out every Wednesday morning. That's The Moments That Made Me with me, Ruxy Nafusi. Find it wherever you found this podcast.
Welcome back. Now, where were we?
Here's one from Amandine. Lovely name. Did you enjoy breastfeeding? Because personally, I didn't. And I was so sure that I was going to love it. So what about you, G?
My nipples were bleeding. I had mastitis. I felt awful. I was on antibiotics for them. Like, it was just not a nice experience. And I don't know if that's anything to do with being a first-time mum and just not really feeling comfortable and, you know, it all being very new. Because second time round, it wasn't like that at all. And as you know, and I said on here that I wasn't even planning to breastfeed at all. I thought, you know, what's the point? I really did enjoy it the first time round. Axel was fine. I'm not going to do it. And actually, I didn't mind it with Gigi. Got to a point where I didn't enjoy it anymore. And I stopped straight away as soon as I wasn't enjoying it. So, you know what? You're not alone in feeling like that. And I think a lot of people do feel like that. And it's not for everybody, you know, it's not for everybody. Not everyone is going to enjoy everything. I think it's just one of those things that is supposed to be the most natural thing in the world. And, you know, mum's supposed
cases,
to love it. Yeah, exactly.
It really is. And I love when we hear positive breastfeeding stories, it makes me really happy. Because I think both Georgia and I, like Georgia said, I think second time round she found it a lot easier, didn't you, Jane?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. It was great. It was so easy.
But I think you definitely go through ups and downs with it, and it's not as straightforward as people make out to be. And I think, and actually both Georgia and I feel, that there should be a lot more education in breastfeeding and bottle feeding before baby comes along. Like, if the breastfeeding volunteer hadn't knocked on the ward door and been like, does anyone need any help with breastfeeding? I wouldn't have known what the fuck I was doing. Like, I didn't have, I was on my own in the hospital. Nobody had shown me how to do it. I hadn't done any of the NCT or bump to baby classes or whatever. And I was just like, I've got this tiny little thing that's screaming at me. And I was like, oh fuck, this isn't working. So
The fact that you said volunteer there, Zoe, it has to be a volunteer that it doesn't offer. You know, when people have babies, you know, 40 years ago, you would get like taught how to make bottles and doing all these things. That doesn't exist anymore because it's just so busy, but it needs to come back. So people feel like they've got options and choices and they know what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, next one.
There's been quite a few questions around moving from formula to cow's milk and whether that should be from a bottle to a sippy cup or, you know, just basically moving them to the normal cow's milk from formula. What are your tips to introduce that?
Well, I was going to say, Chris and I were talking about this earlier because we were, you know, that actually the best thing to do is to just, you know, there's no kind of magic way to introduce you know, cow's milk, but you know, again, you can pick a feed to swap them onto cow's milk. Lots of children love a sippy cup, and it then becomes, it's quite exciting, you know, they're 12 months and they're starting to look for that little bit of independence, and they like the fact that it's in a sippy cup. Some children really still love to have their their baby bottle with the milk in. Again, you know, just not worrying about it too much, not feeling sort of, you know, that there's a failure if they don't like it straight away. You know, that we're asking them to like a whole new flavor. In almost the same way as, you know, when we're weaning and we start weaning, and if they don't like a texture or a flavor, we don't sort of worry about it. You know, it's the same with moving them onto cow's milk. And yeah, we
it can take a few times, like Rose says. You know, a baby doesn't know if they like something until they've tried it at least 10 times when it comes to weaning. So yeah. Obviously some people, you can introduce cow's milk from 6 months when you're starting to wean into food, but going straight to it, as Rose said, they like bottles. You have to find the right sippy cup. Can I suggest not a Tommy tippy cup, one where they can turn it over and just bash it on the high chair and it all comes out everywhere?
Yeah,
non-spill, people. Non-spill.
And also, if your baby does have CMPA, which obviously Kit had, obviously cow's milk is off the agenda, which is absolutely fine too. And that was something that I was worried about. He was on Neocate, and then I had to completely switch him. And I did so many, you know, we tried so many alternative milks for Kit. We found that the oat milk was bringing him out in a rash. And that was bizarre because oats are supposed to be really settling, and he was having porridge in the morning. So I was like, none of this makes any sense. but it was definitely that. We tried him on cashew nut. We tried it. I mean, you name it, we tried it. And then eventually we settled on the soy milk, the growing up milk with the giraffe on the front. And that's what he has. And he has one bottle, actually still has a bottle in a sippy cup before bed every night. And he's
lovely.
Nearly three. Aww.
Sweet.
And I have to froth Gigi's milk on my coffee and on my coffee machine.
No.
Oh, George, I want to be your child. I want frothed milk.
We went straight in with the baby chinos.
Amazing. That.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. This is a question. Yeah, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, if we're talking about milks, which milk do you recommend? That's quite interesting.
Yeah, so formula-wise, I mean, any milk that's on the market is pretty good. I mean, that you get the HIP, the Aptamil, the Cow and Gate SMA, and then for more, you know, Zoe, you just said the milk that Kit was on, and there's also one called Nutramigen, which is for baby with allergies, and they have a hypoallergenic range.
Yeah,
as well. And also, you know, it comes down to, like, some people are always like, do I use powder or ready-made? Whatever you want. I mean, one thing they don't tell you is that powder actually has a longer lasting date than the ready-made bottles. So it's kind of, they're there for ease, are a bit more expensive, but they are great if you're like going out and about and you don't want to do the powder, although you can get those like powder separators. I mean, all the milks are great. Personally, I couldn't even really choose, but a lot of people like Aptamil, but I don't know. What did you guys use?
Goat's milk.
Oh yeah, you used goats, didn't you? I used
Hip. Goat's milk. Yeah.
I used HIP, and interestingly, Gigi could only tolerate the pre-made. And I remember the health visitor saying that I think it's sometimes easier to digest at the beginning. So I think that's why quite often, you know, they have those tiny little newborn bottles of milk, don't they? Because it's sometimes easier to digest. I mean, I don't know if that's true. That's just what she told me. And I did find whenever I tried to use powder for quite a while, actually, she would have a tummy ache after. Maybe I wasn't making it right, but
I think as well. Maybe you weren't frothing it. I wanted to just quickly mention, like, whilst we're just quickly talking about feeds and stuff, and if people are having trouble with their baby wanting to, you know, needing more milk and stuff, one thing that a lot of parents don't know is that teats come in different sizes and different flows. And I think it's really important to mention that if you feel like your baby's not getting enough milk or they're feeling unsettled or struggling to feed, just check they're on the right teat for what they need, because I think that's something that can be missed quite a lot and nobody tells you.
Do you know what? That's so true. One of my mates, I think her little boy was about 12 months old and he was still on the number one tease. And I think it took her a while to discover it and she felt so awful. But, you know, no one mentions that actually. You don't read about that anywhere. No one really talks about it, do they?
Yeah, watch that, definitely, because it must be so frustrating if you are, I mean, both ways round, really. Like if you're a newborn and you've got like a flow four and you're like choking and spluttering on the milk, or like, you know, if you're like 10 months old and you're just desperate for a bigger feed and you've still got the number one teat. So yeah, Definitely check it. We've got a message from Mrs. Wallace who says, help to breastfeed after elected C-section, booked in 3 weeks.
So this is one that we've had a few times as well. With a C-section, I think lots of people are worried that their milk won't come through. It will. Lots of people in hospital, midwives often get you to do skin to skin straight away to try and help like create the flow of milk. But the milk will certainly come through. It's just about being careful with positioning. You won't be able to hold it, the baby in the natural feeding position, because obviously it would be on where you've had your C-section, which could be quite painful. If you really want to use that position, we'd suggest, you know, making sure you use a pillow. But normally kind of like the rugby style, holding the baby kind of like under the arm and then to the breast, is more comfortable with a C-section.
I like that one.
And it's good to know as well, when you're in hospital, if you've had an epidural and a C-section, you'll be ready to kind of go on the breast straight away. If you've gone under, you're going to wake up groggy, so you won't be able to go straight to breastfeeding just because you'll be a little bit all over the place, hopefully on some morphine, having a lovely time. So it's about making sure, and when you're at home, you really do need some help, partner, like people come in, make sure you've got people coming in to check and helping position the baby on for you. It will happen. You just got to make sure you're looking after yourself first.
Yeah. Another question here. My little girl is 8 months and is on 3 meals a day, but I'm struggling to get her to drink milk in the day. Help.
Oh, Rose, we had this one recently, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. The thing is when they, this is such a common thing. And I think we are told, you know, from straight off that, you know, that milk is their main source of food for the first 12 months. And the reality is that once they're on 3 meals a day, they are often find that they drop right back on their milk. I think the things to kind of think about are the timings of those bottles. Are the timings of the bottles still working in relation to the meals? And so therefore, is it that you're quite often expecting them to have breakfast, say, and then have a bottle, in which case they're unlikely to be hungry. So just changing up that, the timings a bit, and also just looking at how much they're having in a whole, 24-hour period, as opposed to focusing on each individual feed, because sometimes it can look worse than it actually is when you actually add up how much they've had. And, you know, just again, not to stress about it. Children go through hungriest phases, not so hungry. It's all to do with their growth spurts that they're having, what transitional stages they're in. And sometimes it drops off a bit and then it will suddenly pick back up again. Try not to worry too much. If you have real concerns, then absolutely go to your doctor.
Okay, we'll finish on Ellie. Why does no one warn you that you hate... this is brilliant. Why does no one warn you? You hate your partner touching your boobs after breastfeeding. Ellie! No one fucking wants to scare you off it forever. That's why.
No, I know.
It's taken me nearly two and a half years to be in a position where I feel comfortable with Dozer touching and kissing my boobs now. Before,
really?
Get off. Do not, every time he went down there with his mouth, this flash of Kit's face just came up, or Luna's face, and I was like, this is not sexy. This is awful. This is like a horror film.
Do you know what? I was actually talking to James about this the other day. He was like, I never see your boobs anymore. And I'm like, yeah, because I was breastfeeding from these boobs like 12 months ago or whatever. And I'm still not over it. Like, I still feel very, it is. You get flashbacks. You're right. You totally get flashbacks.
The worst is when they like, because obviously nipples used to be something that's arousing. And then when you've got, the person that you fancy kind of kissing them and caressing them, and then you look down and you're like trying to feel some sort of pleasure, and you're like, I just close my eyes and go 1, 2, 3. I just start counting my head for some, and then I'm like, move his head off them. But I tell you what, Ellie, that's very honest, but that's true. Recently, I've been able to get it. So I would, if it hasn't been a couple of years, I think it's yeah, you'll be fine. You'll
so
get there eventually.
So normal, yeah. Absolutely.
What a one to end on, hey?
I love Chris, that.
Chris and Rose, thank you so much for coming thank back you. On. Obviously, if you've got any questions around breast or bottle feeding or any questions around parenting full stop, Chris and Rose from Expect the Best are your guys. They are absolute legends. So obviously send them a DM. Will you come back on again?
Absolutely. And just remember, what it's what's best for you as the parent. Not breast is best or bottle is best. What's best for you? You.
You.
What a great way to end. And so we will be back on Tuesday, won't we?
Yes, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast as always, please. And if you do get time to give us a little 5-star review, that would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and do drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And have a lovely weekend.
Staying at home. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.